This week on the Droids, it is Chapter 8, The Mandalorian, Season 1 finale has aired on Disney Plus. We're going to talk all about it, we meaning me, on this edition of the Droids. Welcome back to Sam Says Stuff. That's what we're calling this solo edition. Solo, not a Star Wars story. Solo, a Star Wars podcast, of course, featuring me, Sam. I am sadly lost, alone, adrift.
You are not alone.
Neither are you. That wasn't very good. Look, guys, it's just me. I've got nobody to back me up. I've got no safety net. I've got no Mike to keep me on task. I've got no Ryan to give me that perfect Ray impression. And I've got no solid theories from Chris this week. It's just me, but we didn't want to leave you hanging since it's a big day. A big day, part of a big week, part of a big month for all things Star Wars. I mean, everybody who's listening out there who's a fan knows we have been absolutely inundated, and so we're just going to do a bit of a recap. A fair warning, there will be spoilers for Mandalorian Chapter 8. The episode is titled Redemption, written by Jon Favreau and directed by Taika Waititi. I will be going through the episode and spoiling that episode. And rest assured, we're going to get all of the droids weighing in on this episode, on all the episodes, on the season as a whole, on what we think's coming next in a future episode. But obviously, we just wanted to get this out to you. And, you know, our last episode, we're a little tepid. We're a little tepid on the Rise of Skywalker. And I think that's fair. And I'm delighted for all of you out there who are up on that movie and who are feeling it and who are loving the conclusion to the saga. We've got a ton of episodes in the pipeline, diving more into the Rise of Skywalker, the good, the bad, the ugly, what we thought. But this is just going to be, we won't, I'm going to police myself and make sure, I'm going to commit now. Won't be spoiling that, even though if you're listening to this episode, you probably heard our last one and we got into it. But anyway, as I said, spoilers for Chapter 8, Red Mandodemption, Red Redemption, Redemption, popular word this year. Look, in this episode, we get the conclusion to Chapter 1, to Season 1, excuse me, of The Mandalorian. Chapter 7 left us with a cliffhanger where we saw Moff Gideon surprise us all and kill his own troopers and kill the one and only Werner Herzog, and pin down our heroes, Mando, Cara Dune, and Greef Karga, and also we sadly saw what was confirmed this week, the death of Kuiil, as two speeder bike troopers picked up Baby Yoda in his own peril. And then we pick up this week's episode right where that one left off. We see we open with a bit of comedy. I think you can really feel Taika Waititi's influence here in what I just found to be a delightful scene between the two speeder bike troopers. It sort of takes on a workplace comedy that I think Disney Plus is the perfect place for. Like, let's get that series we've all dreamed of about mid-level career Imperial troops. But they're talking about what happened. They radio in to see if they should bring the package in, and they're told to await further orders. Because there's this standoff, this showdown happening. That scene culminates with the appearance of IG-11, Taika Waititi, of course, the episode chapter director, you know, reprising his role as the reprogrammed nurse droid to Baby Yoda, who is, you know, I guess the most dangerous protector, the most dangerous mama bear in the galaxy now. And he, you know, pretty brutally, takes out the, you know, but comedically brutally, I don't know. Takes out the troopers and begins, we think, returning Baby Yoda to the ship, and is in contact, you know, gets into contact with the Mandalorian. While they're pinned down, we get a little bit more backstory. We learn that you know, Moff Gideon knows who our heroes are. We learn that he knows that Cara Dune is a rebel shock trooper. We learn that he knows the Mandalorian's origin story, and we learn that he knows the Mandalorian's name. It's revealed our Mando, our hero from season one, Din Djarin, which I thought was a great name. Very Star Warsian and very cool to have it revealed so late and have it revealed in the manner it was revealed. They haven't pinned down, and IG-11 actually surprises everyone, bringing Baby Yoda into what we think would be, you know, the dangerous den, nest of vipers, and you know, he takes out a number of the stormtroopers and joins our heroes where they are pinned down and begins working on an escape route for them. Or I guess before he comes in, they join the shootout, and there's kind of the big shootout. We get some really, really, you know, well choreographed, fun action. We get to see a lot of stormtroopers blown away. We get to see the cool, they build the troopers, the Imperial troops set up one of the like turret, mounted big guns that we see. I remember them from Hoth. That's what I always think of them from. And I actually had that action figure. I had a snow trooper that came with the turret and the little energy pack. So it was really great to see that stuff all back. And it comes into play because Giancarlo Esposito takes a shot at, you know, while he has this chance, blows up that energy module that's powering, you know, the ammunition or whatever that's powering this big gun, taking out his troops, and severely wounds the Mandalorian. And we're left with a moment where they retreat inside, and they're you know, faced with, I guess they were previously faced with the ultimatum, but at this point they're faced with escaping, and the Mandalorian is resigning himself to death, and he wants a warrior's death. He's going to buy them time to escape, holding off the troopers while they escape through some tunnels underneath the city. As they go, they, Cara Dune takes Baby Yoda, Grief Karga goes with them. I skipped the big part. We get like, what's he called? Flame Trooper. We get a flame trooper, great design, red and white, cool, you know, unique stormtrooper design, bring in the flamethrower, and again, Baby Yoda stepping up with the force powers, doing the hand wavy thing, as Grief later calls it in a funny callback, and Baby Yoda stops the flames and in fact turns them on the trooper. Now we're up to Cara Dune takes Baby Yoda, Grief Karga. They go through the escape, and IG-11 is refusing to leave Mando, and in fact removes his mask in a pivotal scene for the first time in the series, but while preserving and maintaining the Mando's honor, as no human has ever seen him unmasked. I thought this scene was great. This was really great character development. For the Mandalorian, this whole episode, he really trusts this droid, which obviously we learned in the episode. We saw droids murder his parents and his clan, when, you know, when he was picked up as a foundling by the Mandos, setting him on his life's path. We know droids are to blame for that. We kind of explains his hatred. We've seen it repeatedly throughout that he kills droids with extreme prejudice. And so this trusting moment between him and IG-11 is really, really touching from a character standpoint. It also plays, you know, in a humorous way, because it gives the audience what they want. We finally see Pedro Pascal as Din Djarin under the mask. But, you know, we also, and we get a good joke about, you know, main processor damage or something. They move down to the tunnels, and, guys, geez, am I flying? I can't tell. I'm not used to doing this alone. I need my buddy boys. I'm just trying to get through the beats of the story, and then I'll highlight some favorite moments. So we're probably a little over halfway, right? They're in the tunnels. IG-11 and Din join them. They meet up with the armorer, who's the last remaining Mando. We see that all the other Mandos from his clan, his tribe, have abandoned their armor and in a desperate move at survival and hopefully a chance to escape the city when the Imperials arrived after their, you know, assistance of his escape and, you know, in betrayal of the guild. But the armor is still there. She gives him sort of the two final pieces of the puzzle. She gives him that jetpack, which, I mean, as soon as we saw those, I knew this was coming, and I'm delighted it's here. She gives him the jetpack, and then she also gives him his signet. And it's a Mandalorian symbol for, I think it's for two or for a pair. Oh boy, I watched it at 6 a.m. this morning, Eastern time, and it's after work, so forgive me. But it's a cool symbol. It goes on his shoulder. He's got his signet. He earned it. He rejoins with his friends, and they move to sort of a molten lava way. It's, you know, hopefully to escape these tunnels and get to their ship. There's an ambush of troopers waiting for them, and IG-11, after some debate about primary programming, confirms that the Mandalorian will accept his role to protect Baby Yoda, which absolves IG unit of his primary protocol of protecting the baby, at which point the IG-11 that we saw ready to blast and blow away Baby Yoda in chapter one of this series sacrifices himself, pulls a grandma from Dante's Peak and walks that little boat down that lava flow river, and activates his self-destruct, which is his secondary core programming, so as his you know, his design specs and everything can't be stolen if you know, as a hunter. You know, it's a great scene. It takes out all the troopers. Then we're left with our three heroes plus Baby Yoda. And whatever happened to Moff Gideon? Nobody ever saw him get his. Well, he comes in here, flying in, zipping and buzzing in on a TIE fighter, blasting at them. They're shooting. Cara Dune knows it's pointless. They can't penetrate the armor. And we get to see what is a truly, you know, awesome, exciting moment. It's got to be where some of the budget goes on this show, where Mando activates the jetpack and at the next pass, you know, launches up just in front of the TIE fighter on his pass, uses his grappling gun to hook on and zip to. He's, you know, there's some kind of like old school, you know, aerial stunt work, you know, look at type stuff, wing walker kind of things that you see in the old adventure movies. You know, after determining he can't penetrate the you know, windscreen of the TIE, he uses some of his replenished, like, I don't know what, like limpet mines, like his mines on the wing. He gets them planted, he lets go, blows off the wing, you know, catches himself in the air on his jetpack just in time. And we see the TIE fighter come crashing down. At this point, we get a nice little wrap up from our heroes. We understand that Kara is going to have, basically, she's going to get the clean slate from Dark Knight Rises. That's a Batman reference, so ding one for there. When I was talking about Wing Walkers, I was kind of thinking of that scene in Octopussy where not Roger Moore is out on top of the plane. So we can count that as a Bond reference for those of you playing bingo at home. But our Cara Dune is going to get the clean slate and join the Bounty Hunters Guild with Grief, who's going to set up shop right where he was on this same planet that we've spent time on. I forget the name of this too. It's given in the episode, but they're going to stay put now that all the Imperials have been wiped out. And Mando is committed to finding the true home of Baby Yoda and getting Baby Yoda back to his people, which seems like a pretty strong setup for season two. If that wasn't enough, we get a final look at the end of the show as some Jawas are stripping the downed TIE fighter. Moff Gideon, well, we see a blade come through, carve out an opening, and Moff Gideon rises holding what I learned today was a Darksaber, which is, for all you Filoni heads out there, you'll recognize that from Clone Wars or Rebels. I'm not sure which. It appears farther than I am in on either of those shows. But it was a cool callback, and he's, looking to the sky. Clearly, a villain still to be reckoned with. So that was just a straight play-by-play, but man, what a phenomenal episode. I think it really delivered on the character arc for Mandalorian, accepting his sort of pseudo-fatherhood, earning his rank and receiving sort of the blessing of what he's doing from the armor. Oh man, I skipped that. The armorer has an awesome fight where she uses her her hammer and vice grips that are her forge tools to just brutally crack a bunch of stormtrooper helmets. Can't have been a nice scene after she was done, but that was really, really cool to see her. I'm sure we'll see her back. Like I said earlier, we got this sort of we got the resolution of his childhood and how he came to be a Mandalorian despite not being born there, which we confirmed. We had him find peace with at least some droids. I think Gina Carano was again really, really good in this episode. I think, man, they really found a perfect way to use her. I think she's really, really solid. She has some funny moments with Baby Yoda as this isn't her thing, childcare, not what she's about. Grief has a really, a couple funny moments. He takes a drink during the Western style, shootout. And of course he has maybe the funniest line of the episode when he looks to Baby Yoda as the TIE fighter approaches and he says, do the hand wavy thing. And we get a very cute little wave, just like a hello wave, to Grief from Baby Yoda. The action was really, really good. It was, it's still, man, Star Wars has been around a long time. I've certainly been watching it since I was I don't even remember what I said, somewhere around that 5 to 7 year range is when I first saw it. And it is so, so satisfying to see stormtroopers just get blown away. It's really, really, you just don't have to feel bad about those guys getting brutalized. I thought the intro, which was Jason Sudeikis and who else was that? I think I saw it earlier. Here it is. It's Adam Pally. So Jason Sudeikis and Adam Pally are the scout troopers, and I just thought that intro was really funny from them. And then I guess the big the elephant in the room We got to talk Gus Fring. We got to talk Giancarlo Esposito. Bugging out. What perfect casting. He's really, really so good in this episode. He's frightening. He's chilling. He is calm and in control. And I think is kind of beautifully set up to remain the villain. I'm certain he'll be back, and I hope he's back in a big way. Cause we only got him in chapters 7 and 8. And he was so, so delightful. He has this great, beat where he offers them, you know, a chance to surrender, and Greef Karga asks, you know, what assurances they have that he'll keep his word. And he tells them none. The only assurance he'll give is that he's interested most in self-preservation. So, you know, he knows he has the upper hand, or he at least appears to, before IG-11 shows up, and he's completely unwilling to compromise, and completely willing to kill not only, you know, our heroes who stand in his way, but to kill his own men if necessary. I just thought he was great. I think the cast we have moving forward is awesome. I think we could definitely, you know, still see Taika Waititi return. I mean, what a great idea. Cast yourself as a droid. You can kill yourself as many times as you want. You can always come back as another unit, a different number. So I doubt this is the last IG model we have seen or will see in this show. There were a few things that were unresolved from this series so far. You know, we may go back, but we didn't get any resolution on chapter 4, Bryce Dallas Howard's episode, where we had the fishing community. You know, we don't have any resolution with that woman who seemed to be the brief, you know, one episode almost maybe love interest for Mando. We don't know what her backstory was, why she was such a good shot, or was it just lucky? We don't get any resolution on Fennec Shand, which was a bit of a bummer, I think. It definitely appeared as though they were hinting that maybe she, Fennec Shand, the Assassin Guild member from Chapter 5, it seemed that they were hinting she might yet live as someone approached her in the desert. And we don't know the identity of that person who had spurs that work on soft sand. It's clearly a force user, I've heard people speculate that it's Boba Fett, that took place on Tatooine, which is a hint that he has survived the Sarlacc pit. I had speculated that it was Moff Gideon. That didn't, was neither confirmed nor denied by this episode. I was also wondering, would our boy Obi be wearing spurs? We know he's on Tatooine. We know he's got a series coming. I could just about see somebody, setting that up. Be great to see Fennec Shand as a recurring character in his series. But we don't know. There's yet much to be learned in the wider world. Let's see. I think that's about it. Oh boy. Do I have any remaining questions? I guess the big one that I have is to our listeners and to my fellow droids when they're on and join me. What do we want to see from this show? What do you think? I mean, is the arc of finding and returning Baby Yoda to his home world and his maybe family, is that certainly seems enough to me to run a series and keep this kind of lone wolf and cub thing going. I certainly want to see the return of all the characters featured in this week's episode, as I already mentioned. I think it's a great opportunity. Look, we're going to probably learn more about Mandalore and Mandalorian culture, which I'm excited about. We may finally learn more about, I'll just call it, Yoda culture. I saw an interesting theory that suggested that perhaps Yoda's race could itself be, since it's never been unveiled, what species or race Yoda is, it could be unveiled that, what if Yoda is like the Jedi? What if their species is the Jedi? And that's why they're born so strong in the Force. You know, will we see Dagobah? We know those little guys love Dagobah. Will we see Yaddle? Who could say? Look, we're going to get into it. We'll do our speculation. We'll do a full season recap. But man, what a strong way to go. Today, I woke up, I watched this episode, and while I was at work, I listened. I was back at work. I listened to The Last Jedi, which just got added to Disney Plus, which, as an app on your phone, lets you, like, while streaming a movie, like, turn off your screen and keep the audio playing, which is just, oh, what a dream. It's such a dream come true. I'm so happy about it. That's a pro tip for all of you who like to, listen to your watch-ems. That's what I did today. And, man, what a just delightful day of Star Wars. I know that The Last Jedi has, you know, there are fans out there listening to this who are going to disagree, but I got to say that movie is so tremendous, and just what a 180 of a day, to this time last week. I'm still struggling with Rise of Skywalker. We have a lot, as I said before, to dig into, and we're going to be bringing that to you in the coming weeks. With some great, some great episodes, some one-offs, some new rankings. We're going to talk about, just dive into our thoughts more specifically. I know, Chris and Mike have both seen the film again, Chris a few times. So I'm eager to hear what their takes are. But man, I was down. I was struggling to feel the love for Star Wars. And man, the 1-2 punch of Mandalorian followed by just such an awesome film. Get on your Disney Plus. Watch the stuff that was added today and yesterday, guys. Do yourself a favor. Really, just soak it all in, because we don't know how long it's going to be till the new stuff hits. We know one thing, that fall of 2020, season 2 of The Mandalorian, I'm just seeing on the old Instagram, Jon Favreau has posted, this looks like one of those, kind of piggy orc guard guys, like from Return of the Jedi, but like de-armored. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but he posted a picture of kind of like a statue or maquette of that with the announcement officially fall 2020. So I guess it's like, well, I guess that's it's like it it's like 9 months. It's like the gestation period for a baby, not a baby Yoda. I don't know. They're probably longer because they age so slowly. Maybe they're in there for like a while. Oof. We'll get into that too. We'll learn all about that. Man, do you have to like carry those suckers around for a long time? Oh, I feel bad for the lady. I feel bad for the Yaddles out there. But maybe it's a great bonding experience. Maybe it's easier than, who knows? Look, this is the kind of investigative journalism that I know you guys all come to the droids for. I know it's why you come specifically to, Sam Says Stuff. Sam Says Stuff, TM, a trademark of the Droids You're Looking For Star Wars podcast. Guys, I had a blast. What a great day. What a great, great day for Star Wars. They did it. We have a live, season 1 is in the books. We have a live action Star Wars show, folks, and Dave Filoni's involved, and Jon Favreau's involved, and the Howards, God bless them, are involved. I hope you all had as much fun as I did. Like I said, I was going to say I was keeping this episode short. So much for that. It's been 30 minutes. This is a long episode of Mando. This is our longest yet, nearly an hour. Oh, so great. So much fun. I hope y'all had fun. Send your thoughts. Twitter at Droids Pod, Instagram at Droids Pod, Facebook, The Droids You're Looking For, and hit us up at Gmail, droidspod@gmail.com. Happy holidays. Happy Life Day. Happy Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year's. Happy Mando season 1 day, guys. Hit us up. Let us know your thoughts. talk us through what your Star Wars moments here were this December. That's chock full of them. Join the conversation, get involved. And we'll have a lot coming your way, as I've mentioned ad nauseum. Speaking of ad nauseum, I've been talking ad nauseum. So how about I get out of your ears and let you get on with your weekend? This will do it. That will do that. That's all, folks, for the droids you're looking for. A Star Wars podcast.
You boys want to hop on the Rise of Skywalker? Rise of the Resistance, I mean?
Oh, God, I didn't do it. Boring conversation anyway.
He has no life.